We're doing Megillah. We're up to Chafaf and Beis. Five lines from the top. Rami Bar Abba. Rami is short for Rebbe Ami. Rami Bar Abba have a kabane Bei Kenishta. He built a shul. So Rami Bar Abba is building a shul. Have a hi Kenishta Atika. But there was an old shul in town. Have a bai le mistere. So Rami Bar Abba says, gee, why don't we knock down the old shul and take the bricks and the beams from the old shul and use them to erect the new shul? Yeah, it's a good plan. So he sat down and he wondered, had the Rav Chisda, this that Rav Chisda taught us, the Omer Rav Chisda, for Rav Chisda taught, lo listo bekenishta adibani bekenishta achiti. You're not allowed to tear down a shul till you've already built the new shul. When Rav Chisda said that, hata mishum pshiuta, is the reasoning behind Rav Chisda, is because we're worried you might tear down the shul and then not be diligent about building a new one, and then you end up with no shul. Maybe we're worried he's going to be poshea, he's going to be negligent. Shihai gavna, my, what about here? Where I have the new shul, I'm just going to use the bricks and the beams from the old shul for the new shul. Atal kameid Rav Papa, so he came to Rav Papa. Rav Papa was the disciple of Rava. Rav Papa was very corpulent. He was a disciple of Rava. Rav Papa, the disciple of Rava. Sometimes when Rav Papa speaks, we assume that whatever is his opinion is also Rava's opinion, because he's Rava's disciple. And what's Rava's relationship to Rav Chisda? Rava is Rav Chisda's son-in-law. Rav Chisda had a daughter. Rav Chisda himself was a Kohen. And Abaye and Rava were also Kohanim. Right? So Rava married Rav Chisda's daughter. She died in his lifetime. He had a bad dream. He didn't pay the dream interpreter. So the dream interpreter, Barhedya, gave a bad interpretation. He said, your wife's going to die. And she did. So we're talking two generations down. Rav Chisda said the rule, you don't tear down a shul till you build a new one. So is that only in a case where you're worried the guy's going to be negligent, but here where I'm already building the new one, I don't have to worry about that. I'm going to use these bricks, these beams for the new one. What's the deal? So he came before, Rami Bar Abba came before Rav Papa. So we're two generations down. Rav Papa's the disciple of Rava, and Rava's the son-in-law of Rav Chisda. And Asar Le, he forbade it. Le Kame de Rav Huna, the Asar Le, he also brought the question before Rav Huna of Red Rav Yishua. He also forbade it. So you got to ask, how could you go and ask a second rabbi? Right, yeah. You asked the first rabbi, right? Amar Rava. Okay, so now Rava taught us. Hi, Bekenishta. You have a shul. Chalufa, if you want to exchange it, Vizavuna, or you want to sell it, Shari. That's permissible. Ogura Umashkona, but if you want to rent it, you want to give it as a collateral, Asu. That's prohibited.
Mashkona is okay.
Mashkona is collateral, or Gura is to rent it out. You make money off it. You want to rent it out as a whole. Yeah? Now, let's say you were reading this Gemara and you didn't know what Ogura means. So take a peek at Rabbeinu Hanan up to the right.
Mm-hmm. I think Rava.
And you'll see, he says, oh yeah, okay, good. So you wouldn't have a problem. But the rest of us, we could look at Rabbeinu Hanan. He says, lehaskira velemashkena asu. You see it? So you got to learn how to use these tools. Help yourself out. What does Ogura mean? Okay. Okay, so if you have a shul, you want to trade it, you want to sell it, that's permissible. You want to rent it, you want to give it as collateral, that's prohibited. My taima, what's the reasoning behind it? Bikdushata kai. The holiness, it remains in the shul. You rent it out, people are going to do whatever they want there. That's not right. The shul still has its holiness. If you exchange it, okay. If you rent it, if you sell it, okay. So now we have to wonder, when he says to sell it or to exchange it, he would seem to mean b'shiva tuvei ha'ir, with the seven board members, the seven representatives of the congregation, as we saw yesterday, that's the way to remove its holiness. Otherwise, what does it help? Yesterday we saw that when you sell a shul, it still retains its holiness, unless you did it with the acknowledgement of the congregation and the representatives of the congregation, what's called Shiva Tuve Yair B'mamadan Shei Yair. So the simple reading here is that that's what he's talking about. And it would seem that these seven board members, the representatives of the congregation, while they can't remove the holiness from the shul, when the shul is going to come back to you, you're just renting it out or you're just giving it as collateral, then the holiness remains because it's coming back, right? So that's what would seem to be pshat over here. Tosus discusses that maybe over here we're talking about a privately owned shul owned by an individual as opposed to a publicly owned shul. That you guys could see Tosus or Gura. Yes.
Does that apply also the seven board members in a kfir?
In a kfar. Yeah, only in a kfar.
Only in a kfar.
That's what it would seem like, yeah. Livni Nami Chilufinu Vizuvninu Shari. When it comes to the bricks, if you want to exchange them or sell them, that's permitted. Uzufinu Asu. Wanna lend them out? That's prohibited. When is this so? In an old shul, you're going to break down an old shul and take out the bricks. But so then we say those bricks have holiness. Aval bechadita. But let's say you have new bricks. You bought new bricks you want to use for building a shul. Do we say those bricks have holiness just because you wanted to use them for a shul? But you haven't yet used them for a shul. So then, let them by. We don't care. Do whatever you want with those bricks. Until they were actually built into the shul, they have no holiness. Now, the Gemara. Yeah?
What's the chiddush here?
1 minute. We'll explain in 1 second. So, we have a concept that's called Hazmona Milisahi. The Gemara discusses what happens if you buy a bag for your tefillin. So you say, this bag is going to be for my tefillin. Do we say that the fact that you designated it for your tefillin gives it holiness? We know that once it becomes a tefillin bag, then it's tashmishei kedusha. It was used for something holy. Tefillin have words of Torah, they have God's name, so they're holy. And anything that's used for that, we saw in our Mishnah, has a certain level of holiness, and you have to treat it with proper respect. But what happens if you bought a tefillin bag? You haven't yet used it. So here the Talmud discusses hazmana milisahi. Is hazmana, is preparing something, is designating something for a certain use. Do we say that already is that's something that gives it a certain status? Or do we say hazmana, the fact that you designated it for that lav milzahi, that doesn't really count, that doesn't do anything yet? So this concept applies both to holy things and also to things that are derogatory. For example, if you build a house and you have a bathroom in the house that's never been used, are you allowed to daven in there? There's a toilet there, but it's never been used. This room is designated as the bathroom, but it's not yet used as a bathroom. So the same thing we'd say with regard to holiness. Does designating something for a certain purpose, does it give it holiness? We would ask the same question. Does designating this room as the bathroom, it's obviously the bathroom, there's a toilet in there, but it's never been used. Does that now give it the state of a bathroom and you cannot daven in there, you can't say anything holy in there? So we applied in a few directions. So
could we also say, I don't know if this example will help, perhaps, in the case of Muktzeh, let's say you have a wallet.
Totally different.
Completely different.
It's not holy. Here it's holy.
No, but like,
it's not the same thing. It's mixing apples and oranges. Mixing apples and oranges. Different concept. So
like a kadesh here, or could we say that there's a similar?
Not like a kadesh, no.
In that's a also
different.
Sense.
No, different, no? Different. I mean,
because from the moment you designate the Kadesh, there is...
It's different. You can't compare. Because Hegdesh is contingent on your mouth and your thoughts. Right. And this is not. That's what we're about to see. Different. You're right. Those are here. We have similar terms, but it's not the same. No. So we have this argument in different tractates and shas whether hazmona milsahi, designating something for a certain purpose, does that carry weight? Is that something, or is the designation nothing? So the Gemara says, we just said that if you purchase bricks, you have new bricks for a shul, those bricks have no holiness. You want to sell them, you want to lend them, you want to rent them, you want to do whatever you want with them, you could do it. No holiness. So the Gemara continues and says, "V'afilu lemandama hazmana milatahi," and even according to the opinion that says in other places in Talmud, that if you sew a garment for a corpse, so you've designated this garment for the corpse, hazmana, your preparation, milsi, that takes effect, and now you can't derive any benefit from it, because we have a derivation that teaches us that things that go with the deceased, you're not allowed to derive benefit from. So, even according to the opinion that says, hazmana, that designation, milisai, that's something that takes effect. Hani mili, when do I say that? Kigon orek beged lemet. For example, when you've woven a garment for the deceased, where all you had to do was weave it. Once you've woven it, now it's ready to be used for the deceased. All you got to do is put the shirt on him, the pants on him. It's ready. But bricks, when I buy bricks, they're not ready. That's not something that's ready for holiness. No, I got to build a building with it. I build a shul. That's like saying I have the string ready to weave a garment for the deceased. You buy string to weave a garment for the deceased, that's not hazmana. That's two steps back. The bricks are two steps back. You put the bricks in a shul, you've designated the building as a shul. There we have to discuss, is it milsahi or not? That's a designation where you're one step away from holiness. You're one step away from what you've designated it for. Having bricks is two steps away, because you must build the building, and then that building designated as a shul can have holiness. It's like the string, which is two steps away. After you make the string into a garment, then it's only one step away. You just have to use it for the deceased. So even if you say hazmana milsi, even if you say that by designating the garment, that garment is already designated for the deceased and no one else may use it, that's only true with a garment that's ready to be used. It's not true with bricks, which are not yet a building that's ready to be used for holiness. Yes, sir?
Well, what if you bake the bricks specifically intending to use them in the future?
You tell me.
Well, because then it's already been set aside before you've done the step of baking the bricks. And then, so once you bake the bricks, you're one step in, and they've already been designated for the strings.
He's going to answer you.
But no, I'm saying the string would be equivalent to the clay that you bake into the brick in this case. Because the bricks, I mean, even though
they
like...
They haven't become a shul yet, though. They're just sitting off to the side. It's
like right,
the
made of fancy.
The clay isn't the brick yet.
The making of the brick is like the weaving of the string. You're even more steps behind.
Yeah, three steps that I got clay. Yeah,
but you're intending that this will that be used for...
That's if it was distorted by the string to make the garments.
Matter. Yeah.
Right, but I'm saying, but then once you make the... Okay, so what about when you're making... What if you're making the string?
Talk to him.
It's one step back.
Like you said, that's three steps back.
So what about...
What he's saying is it doesn't even have a...
This time you take the wool from...
One step.
So it always has to be one step away from whatever particular deed you're going to do.
What if you're halfway through the building of the shul?
Good question.
A couple bricks have been dedicated, and someone wants to buy these bricks.
They're not one step away. Same formula. If they're not in the building, they're not yet one step away.
If it's half the building's built.
No, but those bricks haven't been stacked.
You don't have to finish the building?
I mean, like, these have been glued together. You're 3 weeks into building it. And for some reason,
they want
bricks
that have already been sealed.
They're
down?
Sealed in. They're part of the shul. It's not a shul.
Then you can't. That'd be like taking clothes off a dead guy.
It's already finished, though. The building isn't finished.
It's a good question. It's discussed. I don't remember where. It's discussed. You're asking when I designated, but it's not yet a complete building. What about then? So that's discussed. I don't remember if it's a Gemara somewhere. It's discussed. I don't remember.
Designation is defined by what?
So you can theoretically start.
Good
like
question. That's a discussion. Let's leave that for now. Maybe we'll get to that. Yeah.
Hey, this would fit me better.
If we say that bricks is 2 steps away or baking the bricks, so what about Tilot of Tzitzit, that we say that since the time that the wool is taken from the animal, it should be with Kavanah for a mitzvah?
He's going to answer you.
Yeah?
What was the question?
Tzitziot, Tilot of Tzitzit. Tzitzit.
Right.
So we say that from the time that the wool is taken from the animal, or I don't know, other products, it should be for sake of mitzvah.
Right.
And the question is.
And Kiddush is for the sake of Shabbos, and so what?
And we can drink wine even if we're.
That's a din that when you do tzitzis, you have to do it for the sake of the mitzvah. Fine, okay, when I put tefillin, I have to do it for the sake of remembering that God took me out of Egypt, and every mitzvah has its kavanah, but it's not giving holiness. It's details in performance of a mitzvah. There are details that God says certain mitzvot require certain kavanah, but that's not imparting holiness on the tzitzit, it's just a technical detail. God says, if you want the string to be kosher for tzitzit, it has to be made for the sake of tzitzit. Fine. But it's not the same concept. It's a detail within the mitzvah of tzitzis. So
you can't be thinking you're making shoelaces and then the
tzitzis even have holiness.
And aside from that, he's answering you very good.
Tzitzis don't have holiness.
We saw earlier in the Masechet that tzitzit or tashmishei mitzvah, they're a mitzvah, but there's no Torah in them. There's no holiness, as we discussed when we started the chapter and we discussed Rav Soloveitchik. Tashmishei kedusha, when do you have holiness? When there's Torah. Other things, your esrog, your lulav, your tzitzis, they're tashmishei mitzvah. Right? We discussed this. Okay. So he answered you a second answer. Okay.
So I'm just confirmed. I'm hearing that he doesn't have to be finished the building. It just has to be.
I said that's discussed. I have to see. I don't remember. Sorry.
Okay.
I think it's a Gemara somewhere. I don't know if we'll see it later on here. It's a Gemara. I seem to remember it being a Gemara. Could be it's a Gemara in Brachos, could be it's a Gemara elsewhere. I think the Gemara itself discusses this, but I don't remember where. Okay, guys, all of your questions are great, only some of them are about to be discussed if we'll only let the Gemara talk.
We're just ahead, we're one step ahead.
So that's it, very good. No, very, very good. So we said, bricks that were purchased for a shul, we don't care, you can do whatever you want. And even according to the opinion that says designation takes hold, that is something. That's only if you like weave in a garment for the deceased. But over here, the bricks are like spinning the string in order to weave it. They're like spinning the string in order to weave it. That's what's similar to. And there's no one who has this opinion that says that just spinning it into string already gives it holiness. That's not a level of designation that gives it anything. Matana. Let's say the city wants to give the shul as a gift. They have great appreciation for someone. And they want to give him a gift. They want to give him the building as a gift so he could do whatever he wants with it. Obviously, using it for mundane purposes, not holy purposes. We have an argument between Rav Acha and Ravina. And you guys will recall that Ravina is short for Rebbe Avina, just like Rami is short for Rebbe Ami, and Rava is short for Rebbe Abba. So there's a disagreement between Rav Acha and Ravina. Chada Sar. The Chad Shari, one prohibits and one permits. Manda Sal, the opinion that prohibits. The Haitipaka Kedushatam. He says, where's the holiness going to go? You're giving it as a gift. Ordinarily, you sell a shul, so he said the holiness goes off the shul onto the money. You exchange a shul for another building. It goes from one building to another building. You give it as a gift. Where's the holiness going to go? Up into thin air. Manda Shari, and the one that permits. He says, wait a second. Why is everyone wanting to give him this gift? The whole city agrees to give someone a gift, to give him this building as a gift. What's going on here? If not for the fact that they were benefiting something from giving this gift, they wouldn't be giving it. So obviously there's a reason behind this. Maybe they want to they need a favor from the mayor, and they know if they give him this as a gift, so then he'll free the Jewish people that are in jail, and maybe something else. That they're getting something from. There is a monetary value. Yeah, a building of a shul. So are you allowed to give that building or not? So we say, even though there's no money, there's no transaction of money that you can witness, but you can rest assured that if the congregation agrees to give the building, they've gotten something from it. And that's where the holiness goes. So then the gift becomes like a sale because there is a benefit from it. And now the next Gemara, which is where we'll pick up Bezachim next week, is exactly the question you brought up. Tashmishe mitzvah, tashmishe kedusha. What am I allowed to throw in the garbage? What am I not allowed to throw in the garbage? When do I say, I could throw out the esrog in the garbage, I could throw out my tzitzis? When do you say, this is tefillin, it's holy, you can't throw it out? It's the very next line, and Bezrat Hashem, that's where we'll pick up. Bezrat Hashem next week.